Welcome to the sermon podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
All right. Last week, we started a new series in the book of Ephesians, and we call it Made New. And we're choosing a particular word to focus on. And last week, we explored the word blessings. And we talked about the incredible blessings that are ours in Christ, how we are chosen and adopted and redeemed. And Paul ended that section with a prayer. He didn't pray for God to give us more blessings. He prayed that we would understand the blessings we already have. And right at the heart of that prayer, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, it says this: I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. All right, this week, so Paul's going to turn the spotlight on the power behind those blessings. And it's not just any power. He calls it resurrection power. So do you hear that? You think about what we're saying. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he says, is at work for us. That's what he says in this passage. So he's going to turn a corner from talking about how God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to talk about what he does in us. And the word this week that anchors all that is the word grace. So we're going to talk this morning about grace. So the first thing I want to say to you this morning about grace is that grace begins with power. Now that's an odd thing to say. I bet if you're like me, when I started reading this passage and thinking about, when I say the word grace, power is not the image that comes to mind. That's not the word that I associate with grace. But that's what Paul talks about when he talks about how gracious God is to us. So let's read this whole little section beginning in Ephesians 1, verse 19. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Now the key phrase is, this is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Paul wants us to grasp this. The Christian life isn't by willpower, it's by resurrection power. Now, willpower is a big thing. I've often thought about willpower. I was one of those kids that your parents described you as strong-willed. Anybody have one of those? Anybody have a strong-willed kid? It's okay. You can raise your hand. They know. They're looking at you going, you better raise that hand, you know. Any of you, would you describe yourself as strong-willed? Any of y'all in the room? I was one of those kids. I was just one of those kids. I'll tell you a story. I was about 5. My sister was about 8. She was bigger than me. And we got into it one day, and I went at her. And my dad thought I was in the wrong. But I went at her, and she just grabbed me and just threw me down. And he just sat there and watched. And he's like, well, you're getting what you deserve. I got up. I went at her again. She threw me down. And I got up, and I went at her again. And she threw me down. And I got up. And I went at her again. And she threw me down. And I got up. And I went at her again. and she threw me down. And my dad started counting. He was going, that's six. That's seven. He said, son, you might as well quit. You're not going to win this fight. She's bigger than you. You know, you deserve it. You're getting what you did. I got up over and over again, 12 times. Then guess what happened? I threw her down. And I declared myself the winner of that fight, and I walked off. I showed you. She beat the tar out of me, right? Like, and strong will. So I've always thought over my life that if you could just try hard enough and be determined enough and just make up your mind and have grit, that you could get things done. Y'all with me? There's some of you that you're very much, that's who you are, right? And we all are to some extent, and some of you more so than others. Here's what I want you to understand. The Christian life isn't something that you just achieve by willpower. I'm just going to try hard enough. I'm going to make up my mind, and I'm going to. No, Paul says what's required is a different level of power, not willpower, resurrection power. The only way that you and I come to Christ and follow Christ and are saved by Christ and follow Christ is not by our determination and our effort. It is only done by the power that God displays through us. Only what God can do in us. And he declares it is the same power, the same level of power, both in what is needed, but also the amazing amount of power. It's the power that raised Christ from the dead. And it not only raised Jesus from the dead. Notice what he says. He raised Jesus from the tomb to being back alive. But then this same power was taken to seat Jesus on the throne of heaven and given all authority over everything. That's power. Okay? Now, here's what he's saying. I didn't just forgive you. The same power that I raised him from the dead and seated him on the throne is the same power that I am using for you, to impact your life, to change your life. Now that's amazing. So here's what that means. In practical terms, here's what that means. There is no sin too dark. There is no shame too deep. There is no past too messy. That this power can't reach and redeem. So this is grace. It's not just mercy. It's power. It's this undeserved, unmerited thing that God wants to bestow upon you and give to you that doesn't just erase your past, but transforms your future. Grace begins with power. Okay? Second thing I want you to know about grace is that it rescues the dead. It rescues the dead. So there's an image that I've often thought of with grace. And maybe you've pictured this image. You may have even seen a drawing or a depiction picturing grace like this. The picture is of a person drowning. They're in the water and they're struggling. And someone throws a life preserver to them. One of those rings, you know. And they throw it out there to them and they grab hold and they pull them to shore and they just rescued them from drowning. They were struggling. So here's what I want you to know that it says in Scripture. It doesn't say you were struggling in your sin. It's not what it says. I was struggling and I needed help. I needed a boost. I needed a little more. I couldn't handle it by myself. And I needed God to step in and just give me a little bit. That's not what it describes grace is for. It's not to give you a boost just so you can kind of make, you can almost do it, but you can't, so let me give. No. He doesn't describe grace as for the struggling. He describes grace as for the dead. for the dead. Now, this wouldn't make a good picture in the Christian magazine. Okay? It's not the depiction, you know, that I would put up on the screen. You know, I like the depiction of the life preserver thrown to the struggling person. Here's the accurate picture. They're not struggling. They've gone under. And they've swallowed and filled their lungs with water. And they've sunk to the bottom. And grace is not the life preserver. It's too late for that. Grace reaches down in the depths, pulls the person out of the water, pulls them to shore, and is doing CPR on them and breathing, and until the water gushes out and the person goes, oh. That's the depiction of grace. Let me read to you the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. He says, once you were dead, you were dead. You weren't struggling. You were dead, spiritually unable, dead. And he describes it to us. And this is not a doctrinal description. This is like a personal story. This is my story. I would argue it's your story too, but I'll tell you it's my story. What does he say you were doing? He says, controlled by culture. He says, you used to live just like everybody else, just like the rest of the world. You would just fall in line with what everybody else is doing, all the people around you, and you just kind of go along with the crowd. Because, you know, we want to fit in, we want to belong, we don't want to stand out, so we just go along with them. And if they're not doing, you know, exactly what they need to be, whatever, we would just do it. We're not following God, we're following our group. We're just following along with our people, with who we want to be a part of, to how we want to fit in. We're not following God. That's what you were doing, he said. You're dead. He said, you were controlled by desires. He said, he uses these words, following the passionate desires of your sinful nature. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm following the group. Sometimes, you know what it is? I'm just doing what I want to do. I know what I want. I see what I want. I feel what I want. And I'm chasing after those desires, what I think will fulfill me, not what God wants. Not what God is leading me to do, but what I want. He said, this is a description of a dead person spiritually. They're just kind of going with what the culture is leading, like where your people, your clique, your group, what they're doing, you just go with them. And then other times you're just doing what you want. You're chasing your passions, your desires. You're dead. You're dead to God. You know, you're not just struggling. The struggle is because these things cause problems and pain. So you're struggling, but the reason we're struggling is because we're dead in our sins. He says even you're influenced by the devil. He says he is the spirit at work in your hearts. So he's like, instead of obeying God, he's going like, come, do this, look at this, come over here. And he's very effective in pulling you away. So this is a personal history. It's my personal history. It's probably yours. You were dead in your sins. So grace steps in when there's no life left to offer. This is what God does. He doesn't just step in because, oh, here's somebody who really wants to follow me, but they're struggling. No. He stepped in with grace to offer to you who are completely dead to him. Dead to him. If you use that phrase, think about that. If you used that phrase and said, they said, what about, you know, Bobby, Susie, whoever, and you said, they're dead to me. You don't just mean I don't have a relationship with them. You mean that's it. I'm not talking to them. They're not talking to me. We have no relationship. They're dead to me. They might as well not exist. That's the phrase we would use. Do you understand the power we're talking about? God says, in my grace, I'm going to reach out with my power because it would take my resurrection power to those who are dead to me. Grace rescues the dead. It does what only God can do. Grace resurrects. It's not a life preserver for the struggler. It's a resurrection breath to a lifeless soul. All right, so what grace does for the dead is makes them alive. Let's talk about that. Grace makes us alive. Ephesians 2, verse 4 starts with the phrase, but God. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are so united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. Two of the most powerful words in Scripture, but God. Would you say that with me? But God. This is the gospel in two words. We were dead, but God. Yeah. We were lost. We were helpless. Yeah, it's two of the most powerful words in Scripture. And Paul puts it in this as he's writing to us. This is, you were dead. But God. He didn't wait for us to improve. He didn't wait for us to get to a better place. No. He came in and moved because of his love and mercy. And what did he do? He says, I will make you alive. I will resurrect you from the dead and make you alive and raise you up with Christ. Now, here's the amazing thing. I think there are a lot of people who want to follow Christ. They just want that part. He says, no, that's not what I did. I took you. What did I do with Christ? I raised him and seated him on the throne with all authority. And now Paul says, let me tell you what I'm doing with you. I'm taking you who were dead, and I'm raising you to life, and then I'm seating you with Christ. You're like, I don't belong there. No, you don't. That's what resurrection power is. You ever been in a place you thought, like, I don't belong here? Like, I'm in over my head? Years and years ago, when we were first married, Pearline and I got to go on a trip. She worked for the power company, and there were all these high administrative people, the CEO, everybody. They were going on this conference to San Francisco, and they decided the district that had the best sales record or whatever, we're going to honor that district by drawing a name out of a hat and letting them go with all of these people. And they drew Pearline's name out. Now, her job, she was the person who stood behind the counter and you came in and paid your bill, and that's what she did. So we find ourselves as these young 20-something-year-olds, and we go, and we're on this trip, you know, to San Francisco, and we're sitting, like, one time, I'll tell you how bad it was. One time we were riding on the bus, and I met a guy, and I turned around, and I'm just calling him by his first name, and my wife's over there going, just what? And she's telling me, that's the president of the entire company, and you're just going over there, hey, George, how's it going? You know, I mean, like, I have no clue what's going on. Everything was fine. Everything's great. We're enjoying this trip. And the last night, they had this gala, okay? And it's this big meal and everything. And so we had carried our finest clothes, right? And they're like, Sunday, go to church, you know, dressed up, nice clothes. And we feel like we got it going on. We're dressed in our hotel room. And we go down to the ballroom and walk in there. And we went, we are in the wrong room. They all had tuxedos and evening gowns, you know, and we were dressed as nice as poor 20-something-year-olds could be dressed, and we were like, what do we do? And here's the real dilemma. The real dilemma, though, is we were hungry. So now what do you do, right? What do you do? So we decided just to kind of sit in the far back corner of the room, eat and run. So we just ate and then we slipped out the back. But I felt like the whole time, this is what I felt like. I felt like everybody in the room was going, who are those people right there? What are they doing in here? And I felt like people were going like, they're the ones that won the drawing. You know, they're not really, I mean, they're with us, but they won the drawing. They're not really supposed to be here. You know, they're not, whatever. That's the way I felt. Have you ever been in a room like that? You felt like, what am I doing here? Do you understand your position in Christ? He is seated on the throne in heaven, and he says, by his grace, he's taken you, and he says, you now are so united with Christ that you are seated on the throne in heaven with him. You're with Christ in heaven. And I know what you're thinking. I know you know who you are. And he said, you're thinking like, there's Peter's there and John and Mother Teresa and whoever, like they're up there in heaven and they're probably looking around going like, oh, they stand out. What are they doing here? And I know the answer. I'll tell you what you're doing there. The power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead and seat him on the throne entered your life and forgave you of your sin and transformed your life and took you and united you with Christ. That's what you're doing there. And they go, oh. In fact, it's so dramatic how he makes you alive that he says, you're now, listen to verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. You're now exhibit A. This is what God wants to do with your life. You're exhibit A. You were dead, now you're seated with Christ. And God wants to go to other people. I know you feel like you're dead. I know you don't think that there's anything for you. I know that you think, God, me, I wouldn't love you and forgive you. But if you want to know, look at him. Look at her. Look what my grace can do. Look at the power that's required, but the power I'm willing to give that you don't deserve. You see them? That's what I can do for you. You're exhibit A. Now, the beauty is, though, that you're not just saved by grace. You're saved to do things for him. Listen to chapter 2, verse 8. These two verses right here are famous. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, the way I memorized this is not in the New Living Translation. It sounded like this when I was growing up. It was, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's the summation of the gospel. It's the summation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By grace, in other words, you don't deserve it. It's not earned. You didn't do anything for it. Through faith, it's not about what you do. It's about who you trust. It's like, what did you do to become a Christian? It's like, it's not what I did, it's what he did. It's who I trust in. It's Jesus Christ who did everything. And then he adds, and it's not by works. It's not so you can boast. It's not so that you can say, look, I'm doing all these things. I've done this and this. I've avoided this. I've changed my life through my willpower. He says, no. Grace is not so you can do things so you can boast. Grace is when I said, look, I was dead in my sins with no hope. My desires And my draw to fit in with everybody and my draw to be what all the things that mess with me, and I was dead to God. He saved me anyway. He loved me anyway. And he was willing in his power to forgive me of all my sins and to unite me with Christ. Not by works, but still for works. He uses this phrase. He said, don't miss verse 10. We're not saved by good works, but for good works. He said in verse 10, we are his masterpiece. So please don't get me wrong. I painted a picture earlier that, you know, we're in heaven and they're sitting over there looking over there going, what is she doing here? You know, like, look at, you know, how'd she get here? By the grace of God, you know? But it's not just that. No. If you showed up, you know, at wherever, your place of business, your school, like, if someone showed up to tour your school, for instance, they showed up, and somebody wants to take them around and show them the school, they're not going to show them the ugly rooms. They're not going to show them the dark. They're going to show them the pretty place. Guess which students they're going to introduce them to? You might look and go, like, I've never been introduced to somebody. Okay, well, you know. You know what I'm talking about. They come to your company. Who they're going to? The stars. They're going to bring them in. So let me show you what we produce here at this school. Okay. That's who you are in Christ. He says you're his masterpiece. You're the one. He doesn't just point to you. He wants to say, you want to know what my grace can do? I want to show you not just that my grace can save the worst dead sinner. But now look at who they've become. Look at what my grace is transforming in their life. Look at the difference. Look at the amazing possibilities of who God is. And God is continuously introducing you to people for the very purpose of saying, look. And he's not doing it to say, here's who you are. He's doing it to say, here's who I am. You're his masterpiece. See, grace is more than some doctrine in a church. It's the power of God that makes dead things live. It lifts us up, it changes us, it saves us, and then it sends us to do his will. God's grace isn't weak, it's mighty. It's not passive, it's active. It took Jesus from the tomb to the throne, and it took you from death to life, from sin to salvation, from drifting to purpose. You're not who you were. You're not where you used to be. You've been made new by grace. So if you've been trying to earn God's favor, stop it. If you've been forgetting that you're alive in Christ and you've been walking in guilt, stop it. Remember who you are. If you've never trusted Jesus, believe in him today. Grace is a gift. Open your hands and receive it just as you are. We're about to join and sing together, and our closing song is Just As I Am. Just as I am, in the bottom of the sea, dead in my sins, he wants to rescue me and place me on his throne. There's some of you in here who need rescuing. You need resurrected. There's some of you who've been resurrected and you've forgotten, oh my goodness, his power wants to put me on his throne and make me his masterpiece. Let me pray for you this morning in closing today. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your grace. Grace that doesn't just forgive, but revives. Grace that reaches into our deadness and brings life. Grace that lifts us from the pit and seats us with Christ in heavenly places. Thank you for loving us when we were unlovable, for showing mercy when we deserve wrath, for offering salvation as a gift we could never earn. Help us now, Lord, to live as people made alive. Let us walk in the power of your resurrection. not striving in our strength or our willpower, but standing in your grace. Let our lives be a reflection of your kindness so that the world may see and give glory to you. Lord, we were saved by grace. Now may we live with purpose. Send us out this week as your masterpiece, ready to do the good works you prepared for us, all to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.